I don't have a quorum. Oh, there's Otto. We have a quorum, I think, now. I don't think so. I'm trying to get to the committee list because I can't remember who all is on here. And myself, John, are you on this committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I've got three. Where's my fourth?
Whitney.
Okay. All right, we do have a quorum.
Yay.
I'd like to call the Health and Social Services Committee meeting to order. Today is September the 6th, and it is 1:06 p.m. I'm sorry, we're just a few minutes late today. First order of business is roll call.
Congressman Big Horse. Congressman Hamilton.
Here.
Congresswoman Lemon. Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congresswoman Redcorn?
Here.
Chair Stabler?
Present. We do have a quorum. I did hear from Congressman Big Horse. Didn't expect him today. Next on the agenda is prayer. And if I could ask Congressman Maker, would you say a prayer for us this afternoon?
Yes, ma'am. I want to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day and thank you for your blessings. And we want to ask you for your guidance and wisdom and courage to do the right thing for our people. Today we're talking about the health of our nation, Lord. The most important thing that this government can do is take care of the health of our people, the elders, the children, all of our people. So we need your blessing for good health for everybody, Lord. So we're gonna ask you to give us that wisdom to do the right thing for our people. And we wanna ask you also to be with those who are grieving or having a hard time, Lord. We know you know their needs. You're gonna take care of those things for us. So we ask these things, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Okay. I just heard from Congresswoman Lemon. And she will be late. We won't wait on her, though. We'll move on. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes. Congressman Hamilton.
Motion to approve the minutes of August 24th as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Minutes are approved. Next on our agenda is ONCA 2399, an act to provide an appropriation to CCOPCA for fiscal year 2024 in the amount of $1,838,820 and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. My vice is not here, because the vice is Brandy, I think.
Your vice is Whitney.
Oh, it's Whitney. Okay. So I'm going to hand the chair over to Whitney.
Thank you. I'll let you proceed.
Thank you. This particular piece of legislation is for the elder nutrition programs, and it is actually part of what's in the annual plan, but it did need a separate appropriate because it's an actual appropriation of tribal funds. That's why it's separate from the, it's within the plan, but it needs a separate appropriation bill. So I don't know if, do we have anyone here that can speak to these budgets?
Madam Chair, this is Mr. Rogers. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we have the two programs with the Pawhuska, the Title VI federal grant elder nutrition program, and then the Fairfax site is the one that's a nutrition site ran with the state funds. And so the appropriation helps assure that we're able to provide a stable nutrition program for our elders at both sites. Thank you.
Okay, and then James, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I just didn't know if you would go into detail or not. Otherwise, I can do what you
want. Does anyone have any questions? Oh, sorry, I'm not the chair.
No, you're fine. I was just getting ready to ask the same thing. But you can go ahead and give us the details that you have.
This book's pretty thick. I'm trying to see if I can find it. So we'll start off with the Pawhuska, Title VI. The microphone's trying to get me. So at the Pawhuska Title VI, we're asking for approximately $568,000. And kind of give an overview of how the budget process was done. I'll kind of start with that, if that's all okay.
Yes.
So when we started working on the budgets here, I've been here almost a year now, and so it's just trying to get up to speed as far as getting everything where it should be as far as budget is concerned. So what I did is I took FY21, working with Wyatt Sanders, FY21, FY22, and FY23 through April, and annualized FY23. Then we compared, like for example, for Pawhuska here, every expense line, we went into all the details of the expenses to look for anomalies that should not be considered in future years or their one times. And as we went through every one of those line items, not just for, as I go on, not just for Title VI, but for the whole budget process. It's approximately 48,000 lines of detail. We just went really deep dive in to make sure here's what 21 was, and of course, Pawhuska is our example. Here's what F21 was, here's what 22 was, and then here's how 23 is shaping up. And then we turn around and annualized FY23 to where we think it will be for the year, then compared all 3 years. And then I met with the director of the program, Amy, and said, here's how 21 was, here's 22, here's how our 23 is shaping up based on how things are trending through 6 months of our year. This is where I am estimating FY24 to be. What would you want to add to the program or do different to the program? So that was my basis behind every one of my budgets. Met with the directors and did the approach. And so I met with Amy a couple of different times. Sometimes she had homework, sometimes I had homework, that we were trying to look at different things and meet back up so we could have a good clean budget for the following year. And so that's each of these lines, and so we went through it. And so I think we added a new FTE this year. And the big thing for Pawhuska was the food cost. Food cost keeps going up, just like when we talk about clinic, the pharmacy cost is going through the roof. And so it's just trying to get our handle on where do we think food cost is going based on our current needs, our future needs of the program, and also with just inflation in general. So Amy and I met two or three different times and went through the same process till we felt like we had a good budget that to present to one that she believed in, I believed in, and I believe you guys believe in, that this is where we're kind of projecting based on all those variables. So as, I don't know if I can go through each one and just tell you numbers, but that was the whole premise behind. It wasn't just here's a budget. And so we kind of really did a zero-based type budget, but we did 3 years comparison for every account. We looked at payroll. We looked at, and so some of the stuff that went into not just the Pawhuska, but Title VI, but the whole program is our escalators. Like, for example, supplies, stuff like that, we put a 3% cost of, 3% escalator in. Then we had a cost of living. We put a cost of living in there. And then we just went through all the different variables. And then we looked at the growth. Where do you think, as far as your volume, how you doing, where you think you'll grow? And she said, and so we just built those different things in. But the main increase over the last couple of years is food cost. It just, you know, I since Amy took over last, what, November, October, something like that, she took over Title VI, you know, she's totally revamped the program. And so, you know, when you start adding meals and adding quality meals, then cost does go up. So that's the major factor that went into this year's budget for Title VI.
Question, Chair.
Sure, go ahead.
At this time, are you guys currently utilizing the meat from the butcher house for the Title VI's in Pawhuska and Fairfax?
I don't know that.
Madam Chair, this is Mark. Ms. Dobbins is purchasing products from our tribal meat plant process.
Okay, so she's purchasing all of her beef and the chicken and sandwich, deli meat, and things of that nature from the butcher house?
Menus are routinely planned with supplies from butcher house.
Okay, and what about the harvest land? Are they providing you guys with the fresh vegetables at this time?
Ms. Dobbins is accessing and purchasing from a variety of locations to round out her menus. So yes, I don't know like the exact cost or amount, but I do know that we purchase items from there.
Okay, so are you currently purchasing your vegetables from the harvest land?
Yes, it's not everything, but we do have them in our mix of menu preparation.
Such as?
I'll have to call Amy and have her call in to give an exact detailed breakdown. I don't have that level of detail. All I know is that we do support the Osage businesses and we do purchase from them. I don't know that they're able to provide us the full array of things, you know, the canned goods, some of the other things, but all the fresh produce that we can get, we purchase.
Okay, well, that was my question was, what exactly are you purchasing, and is it because they can't provide it to you at the quantity that you need it? Or I was just wondering, because I did, you know, attend the facility here in Pawhuska, and it looks as though the salads are still not, the salad bars, it doesn't look as though it's the produce coming from the harvest land. So I was wondering, and I know we've talked about this for some time.
I'll verify that, ma'am, and give me just a minute, and I will have that information for you.
Okay.
If I can come back with that, and I'll have it here shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Does anybody else have any questions? Congressman Hamilton?
Can you go into detail why the what's included in the other line item? I see there's...
Well, the way the microwave program works, it's really other, but it says it's raw food. It's the food cost, estimating the food cost inside of there based on how it has been trending. If you notice, if you go, can you guys see what the packet that I'm seeing?
We're seeing what's in the bill, I think.
Yeah.
So it's the way the accounting system groups it in micro. It's really not, it's categorized as other, but it's the account is 5580 is really raw food. That's the food cost. It's just the way it's breaking out in this program. That's that food cost variable I was talking about.
Are there any other questions? I didn't know if he had anything else to add on top of what Mr. Rogers was commenting on, but while he's getting that, I didn't know if he had anything else. Okay, just wanted to double check. Okay. Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, yeah, I'll ask questions. How many, what does it look like as far as the number of clients that we have that we're serving that are homebound in both areas?
I don't know if I have that statistic. Okay, for Title VI, we'll use how we've been running the last couple of months. So we had approximately 3,000 meals on a monthly basis with dine-in 801. And then when it breaks it down to the Hominy home delivery versus the Pawhuska home delivery, and I'm using July as the example, as a month ago. So for July, we had, for Hominy homebound, we had 591 of that 3,000, and then for Pawhuska home delivery, we had 510. As far as carryout, we had approximately for July 1,135. And then as far as the 55 plus, we had 1,305. And then when we go to Fairfax total Title VI was around 3,700, and then with delivery native, we had 453, I'm talking about July. And then for non-native, we had approximately 697. And then when you go to dine-in for Fairfax, 685. And then for carry-out, 1,900, approximately 1,906 for July's.
You only have that for the July?
Well, since we've been trying to build this statistic file as I've been here, trying to build this mm-hmm. volume file, so I can go all the way back to December.
I was kind of curious what it looked like compared to this time last year.
That information wasn't being gathered in prior years.
Oh, okay.
And so one of the things I've done here since I've came is, as far as volume or statistics or patient visits or meals or behavioral or whatever in this health system, I've been having to gather what we're doing every month and keeping on a spreadsheet. It's kind of hard to see, but I've been building that so we can go back and do that reference like you're talking about. But that was one thing that they haven't been able to go back and get. But as far as like December, 8 months ago, 9 months ago forward, we have that information. Now, some things we were able to go back and get, not related to food, but for other programs, they were able to pull that information so I could have 21, 22, and all of 23. But some programs, like the food one, is starting off in December when they were able to start pulling that. When I was requesting, all right, this is what you're doing now, let's keep breaking it up to get to all those variable components I was just talking about. And as something new comes on or watching a program, hey, are we capturing this or looking at that? Because that's stuff that's not in the financial statements. That's just volume-based stuff or statistics. I've been asking them to add it to this file so when we get trending down the road, we can look back now. We can look back at Title VI meals. In October of last year when Amy first started, we did 200 or 2,300 approximately. Now we're doing over 3,000. So So that's why I can, that's why we've gained over this last, from October through July. Mm-hmm. So now this is what I'm used to seeing. And so it helps build that basis to look to the future or look for anomalies or where do we want, where are we able to go? And so that's, this is something I have implemented that we're doing as we go through the future.
Congressman Maker.
Yeah, I just really had a comment because I do know that on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, the numbers are probably a lot higher on those times. Because I know I've had meals there on like when they have the Thanksgiving dinner and the Christmas thing. There's a lot more people there on those days.
Congressman Hamilton.
Does the Pawhuska site still deliver to Hominy? It does? Can you speak to why the difference in the appropriations? Why is the Fairfax site higher than the Pawhuska one if Pawhuska's taken care of too?
Yes. A lot of it is food cost in Fairfax. And also Pawhuska is a little bit less because they have federal dollars through the grants they use up before it rolls over to the tribal dollars. And so we're in that transition. That's part of that. As far as the other portion of it is, Fairfax is, wages are about the same. I'm trying to read the small print as I'm talking to you. Wages is about the same between the two, but the big difference is the meal cost, and then also the space cost for Fairfax is more than Pawhuska. So there's another, that's also a component that's causing that variance. And then that's the main parts of it, is the food cost, weights, and then the space cost is the two biggest pieces that make the variable between the two.
Chair.
Congresswoman Stabler.
On your space cost, did they go up this year?
They haven't yet, but you know the treasurer's still working on what his 24 budget's going to look like, so mm-hmm. I don't know what that number is. Mm-hmm. What I did is I took what we're currently paying and estimated that for the following year, and so because I haven't seen that the treasurer's budget as it's related to space cost and our MOA related to that.
And I have another question.
Sure.
And so one of the reasons I asked that too, so is your space cost, are you still going to be paying space cost into the nation?
Yes. For the buildings that are owned by the nation that the health system will be occupying, yes.
Okay.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you. So the IDC that's in this particular, these two particular budgets, I understand you guys have an MOU with the Treasury Department with regards to your admin fees or IDC, correct? So is this IDC at the rate of 25% or is it the rate determined by your MOU?
So this is a carry forward from 23 to 24 because the tribe has not came up with their percent yet. So we put it in there as a placeholder. It's 23.96%. And so, but we're also in the process of going from, with the IDC, of setting up our own in our health system. We have a consultant involved to do that. And so we've also, in the process of the IDC and related overhead that is inside of there, we have built out the health system. Now we have accounts payable, we have payroll, we have accounts. We're building out, we have procurement. We're building out the team so our IDC dollars that were related to tribe will eventually go down. But until we have the meeting and get through the consultants and then with the Treasury developing their IDC, we don't know what that number or that dollar percent will be. But until then, this we just took what the current rate was at 23.96% of 23 and used that in FY24 as a placeholder. Because until the tribe gets their IDC done, we don't know. We know what services we're going to need next year. The biggest one is our IT infrastructure and the IT staff, you know, the internet, stuff like that. So that's the biggest piece. The other smaller pieces is we have self-governance, but that's going to be a small. Then we have our equipment, building equipment insurance. You know, the person that does that, not the insurance itself, it's already being allocated to us. And so once, but so as we move forward, we'll end up hiring the rest of those few positions. And then in grants, we have grants is another one. So we have approximately, you know, $16, $17 million in grants that the grant department is managing for us. And so we'll continue to pay an IDC percent of our grants to the total nation's grants until we can hire a qualified staff member and build out our program. So that's the main two that will carry on for a while next year, in my opinion. Obviously, the IT, because you shut it down, we don't have internet, we don't have phones. And the other piece is the grants. The other, the smaller ones, like the self-governance, we don't, that's going to be a small dollar value. But, and so, but yes, to your question, we left it the same because we don't know yet until the Treasury gets theirs. We have a consultant building ours. So what we'll end up having, what the picture will look like, we'll say in a few months once IDC is done, the tribe will charge us for those selected, which are like four or five services that we need to continue. And then we will build that dollar value into our IDC to charge out to our programs. So that's what it will look like once, you know, the Treasurer gets through with their consultant building their IDC. Get our consultant and they work together and they come up with that new rate, and then that's what it will be. The rate will be different. What's important with the rate is not the rate to me, because there's different methodologies of IDC. There's salaries and fringe, there's modified. So what really matters to me is not that rate, it's the dollar on the other side. Because if it depends what variables you're using, you know, it's a math formula. So that's why the percent is as important to me as dollars on the other side. I mean, they both matter, but if you're using a different methodology, when you get to the end, are you better or worse by the new methodology? So,
I would agree 100% with that. Is the on the other, the raw food that you mentioned?
Yes, ma'am.
You're not charging IDC on that.
That is a cost that's inside of the IDC at this time.
It is.
Yes.
Based off of what?
Based on, so the for. The way that it's currently built in here, we took total cost, and the way it's IDC's currently been figured up to this point, and for, we're talking about Pawhuska, for example, that raw food is an IDC component. And so once we meet with the consultants and figure out, like I said, we just did a placeholder based on our total expenditures, mm-hmm. so we could have a budget, and that's a placeholder. And then once we get the consultants and line out what they're going to consider in the new IDC, then we can go in and adjust the IDC to what it needs to be.
Okay, because typically I think the raw food, didn't it used to be in like the supplies or something of that nature? Not, it wasn't always in other. So
raw food has kind of been in a different category.
Yeah,
it's been hid, and I wanted to break it out,
mm-hmm.
so you could actually see. I think before it was in direct services, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to see food, not direct. Otherwise, every time I'm looking at this, or you guys, what's direct service? It's raw food. Well, I wanted to see raw food. Mm-hmm. But the way that, and the financial statement, it will should be under raw food where we can see it broke out, not mm-hmm. hid in a direct service. I want to see raw food and manage that cost.
So
that's, that's, but for the way the micro program on this, it's showing in other, but when I'm looking at it, we have actually have it broke down to the next level with the account number. It says raw food. It's actually, it's just the way it's categorized in this category. Yes.
Congresswoman Reaver.
So are you currently using the Treasury Department still, or you're just your, completely just your area, your office, for the accounting purposes?
The only thing we're currently using that we're hoping to transition is a few of the bank statements. So that's still being done in the tribe. But besides that, Wyatt is doing a great job, Wyatt Sanders. And we hired another team member, Shelby Bonner, an accountant, getting her up to speed. Mm-hmm. We're doing it ourselves.
So you guys aren't dependent upon the Treasury for your financials? So you're able to look at your financials in real time and things of that nature?
Yes.
Okay. Good for you.
The space cost is still done.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've done is with the microway or the accounting system, it doesn't provide a lot of detail what you want to see. So we're able to extract the data out, pull it into, and I'm born with accounting term, but pull it into Excel and really dive into the data and see the whole program, this whole program in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Whereas otherwise you're running these reports, it takes like 2 hours and then you can't read them because they're small print and then there's no detail. So in theory, if we were looking at July, we're working on August financials right now. If we was looking at July and you said, what is that $180,000 in food cost? Well, he's going to spend 30 minutes getting back into the accounting system trying to figure it out. Now I can just click a button and see every transaction that makes that up in 10 seconds. And then I can look at ones that are anomaly or something didn't look right, and then now we can research. So we've taken the analysis to a whole nother level for the health system when we're going through these and looking for stuff.
Good. Good for you. I'm glad that that's available to you and in your entity. I do have questions about prevention.
Sure.
Go ahead. So I don't see, wasn't there a request for the Unity? I thought there was a request for Unity. Maybe it's in the big tribal bill. But I'm just curious why it wouldn't be part of this bill. Congresswoman Stabler.
I'm sorry. Somebody just asked me a question. Go ahead.
I was just curious if, remember prevention had asked for money to attend the Unity conference. And I was just wondering, why it's not located in this particular bill.
I never had a request.
Well, typically, remember Congressman Hamilton, didn't they in the mid-year ask for money to attend Unity?
Yes, and I believe it's in the travel and conference.
Is that what, it's in this prevention?
They have travel and conference listed, not specifically as a Unity line item.
Well, the reason I'm asking is that because we're so far over projected revenue, just so you know, in your tribal request. We're currently over projected revenue government-wide right now, and so we're looking at our tribal dollars. So forgive all the questions, but what I didn't want is that they come in the mid-year and say, oh yeah, we forgot to budget and ask for money to attend the Unity conference. I guess it's their youth council. And so I was just curious why that wasn't part of this bill, since that they fall under the
I didn't have a request for that, so if it's in their budget, it would be paid for with health dollars.
I'll let him answer that, and then also Mr. Frazier, I think, has something to add to it.
Okay.
As well.
So, like I said, the detail, the budget, I can see that is presented as a different format. They do have in there National Unity Conference and a Unity Mid-Year Conference in this budget.
Excellent. Mr. Frazier, did you have anything else to add to that?
That's all I was going to say is it's on page 48 of the annual plan. You can see it broken out there.
Okay, thank you. Perfect. I just wanted to make sure that they, that it was included. And I know that I think the last time that they attended was kind of iffy because of COVID. Of course, we never know what's going to happen, but I just wanted to make sure it was included. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments on these three sections that are part of this bill? Did you have something, Congresswoman Stabler?
No, if there's no other questions, I was going to make a movement.
I think that's okay. Doable.
Chair, I'd like to report to make a motion to report ONCA 2399 to Congress with a due pass.
There's been a motion and a second. Discussion or comments? All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay. it will be passed to Congress with a due pass recommendation. And next on the agenda, it looks like is another bill from, sorry, my computer locked. Let me read it. It's ONCR 2321, and Congresswoman Stabler is also the sponsor for that, so I'll let you take it away.
Okay. Yeah, this is a resolution declaring congressional consent and approval of the CCAPCA annual plan of operations for fiscal year 2024. Before we get to, we make movement on this, we did meet with them prior to session and go through nearly all the plan. I didn't know at that time or on that day that the land purchases that were mentioned in the plan, that they were ready to go with those. And so I sent the information out. I hope you all were able to go through it, because I feel like that's the piece that needs some discussion. And so the plan is, if we vote this plan out today, then I'm going to try to fast track it so that they can get to their land purchases. But it's specifically the land purchases that are left to discuss. So I guess I don't know if they have any comments they'd like to make up front or not, but the land in question needs to be in executive session because it is a land purchase. And so at this time, I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of proprietary information regarding land purchases.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
We got it. And so give us a minute, we're going into executive.